When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Welcome into 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Drew Kreisman, and as always, I'm excited to be talking Colorado Rockies baseball with you here on the show. And on today's show, I've got multiple topics that are really one big, gigantic umbrella topic, and that is the arrival of Adiel Amador. What that means for the Rockies, what it means for Amador, what it means for the rest of the team, and what it means for you, the fan, who I presume, if you're listening to this, is interested in the long-term future of this team. Because as we often talk about, you know, breaking down these games and the winning and losing and the bullpen blowing stuff and what the record might be at the end of the year is all ultimately not that important, as a team that is rebuilding is building toward the next couple of years. And a lot of our evaluations, at least here, my evaluations have been about how well are they doing that or not. And this was an interesting moment in this grand conversation. I did not expect them to call up Amador quite so early. So I got to get into all of that, why he's here, what you most need to know, what we're going to be paying the most close attention to as we move forward. But before I can get into all of that, I of course have got to let you know about our friends over at Bet Online, your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. While you've still got time on those, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head over to the online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or poker, maybe unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. All right, let's get a few facts on the table for those of you who may not know. Everyone listening to this knows, but let's get them all on the table. Adiel Amador is a 21-year-old, and when I say 21, I mean barely. He turned 21 in April, so he is about as young a prospect as you are ever going to see at the major league level, unless you're talking about, you know, Andrew Jones at 19 and the very rare types of things there, right? He's a switch hitter. Up the middle defender, played a lot of shortstop, has largely moved over to second base. Obviously, as the Colorado Rockies have Ezekiel Tovar, who we will be talking about a little bit more in a moment. Amador comes out of the Rockies International and Dominican League prospects, where they've spent a bit more time, money, and effort over the last 10 to 12, 15 years or so, with varying degrees of success, acquiring some of these players as young as sometimes 16 or 17. They had their first taste of Adiel Amador at age 18 in the complex level way back in 2021, and he quickly began to rise up the prospect lists and carve out a name for himself as an incredible contact hitter. The big thing, especially for, you know, 2021 and 22 and 23, was that he was walking more than he was striking out, sometimes a great deal so. That first year in the complex league at 18 years old, it was just barely the other way. He was striking out 14.5% of the time, which is low, and walking 13.5% of the time, which is high, but still not quite the flip. But then he would go on the next year, at age 19, 115 games played at A-ball, and he walked 15.7% of the time while striking out 12.1% of the time. That is absurd. That's insane. That's ridiculous. That's remarkable, and all of those other words that you have there. 15 home runs and 26 stolen bases. So not overwhelming power, but there's some pop in there. Not overwhelming speed, but an above average runner. But of course, the calling card here very quickly became, man, this guy makes contact. Continued to be the case at the Complex League the next year. And then at High A ball the following year in 2023, at 54 games played at the age of 20 years old, he walked 12% of the time and struck out 10% of the time. So this has been who he was coming into this year. He got an extended look in spring training. The Rockies were getting him out there a lot. And it was interesting because he was showing a very mature process, but he just wasn't getting results, both at spring training and really for the first month of this year. He wasn't striking out a ton. He was drawing some walks. When he was getting his hits, they were singles, but they really weren't coming. In fact, in his first 22 games, going back to AA this year, with the Hartford Yard Goats, 9 hits for a guy whose calling card is contact, right? He doesn't have overwhelming power. And so that was really fascinating because he had carved out his place at this point as the Rockies' top prospect. He was listed by most evaluators. You know, there's obviously a varying degree. I think Keith Law left him out of his top 100 altogether, but almost everybody else had him somewhere in the 20s. In the top 30 was the consensus for where this guy was as a prospect. And then the thing that he does the best seemingly went away from him for about a month and a half of baseball. That includes, you know, spring training and really starting out this year with Hartford. But, and I think this is the reason why, in spite of all that, it's not just that he turned it around and had a hot stretch and had 17 games where he was hitting 275 and hit 7 home runs, by the way, which is what he was doing right before he got called up. But it was the fact that even when he was hitting a buck 90, he was walking. He was, and if you're watching the games, and I'll admit I don't get to watch as many Yard Goats games as I'd like to, but I try to get in on the highlights and try to watch certain at-bats, especially, and yes, I'll admit, if you're a top 10 or 15 or 20 prospect in the system, I'm much more likely to watch an entire at-bat rather than just get the highlights. And with Amador, you could see that he's taking a lot of pitches. He's swinging at strikes and not swinging at balls. He just, you know, there were some atom balls in there. Yeah, there was some weak contact. But ultimately, you could see the results were going to come because his process at the plate is just so good. And that's where we find ourselves now, where after having played 4 games, he only has 2 hits. And he does have 5 strikeouts. Hasn't walked yet. And so it might be tempting to go, now wait a minute. Where's this prodigious contact we've been hearing about for years and years? Right? And so I think, yes, we should all be both very, very excited and understand that he's incredibly young and it's going to take some time. And it may even, as we've already seen this year, take some time for him to work through those processes while still hopefully giving you pretty good at-bats most of the time. But it's also clear that what the Rockies have here is just an extraordinary amount of potential because he does have pop, he does have speed, he's a very good defender, and he hits from both sides of the plate, and we're likely to see that contact show up. Remember when Ezekiel Tovar first arrived, and now we get to transition into this part of the conversation. He didn't take the world by storm immediately. In that first month he had, remember he was a September call-up at first, had a bit of a cup of coffee. Even as a rookie last year, defensively, he, wire to wire last year, was fantastic. But offensively last year, Ezekiel Tovar put up OPS plus and WRC plus numbers in the mid to low 80s, well below the league average. In fact, when the Rockies signed him to an extension this offseason, and I was posting videos and articles and tweeting out about Ezekiel Tovar's extension, I do think the vast majority of Rockies fans recognized that as a good deal and saw it as a good thing. But I got more than a few responses of saying, like, this guy is a well below league average hitter, you know, who some contact. It doesn't look like he's ever going to be a 30 home run guy as Tovar. Probably not, though. I don't know. We'll see all of a sudden. You know, certainly an extra base hit machine, the doubles, right? But he's taken a massive leap forward in really his second full season. And so with Amador, we're in an interesting spot here, right? Because, first of all, he's on the team right now because Brendan Rodgers is hurt. And so how long Rodgers needs and how well Amador plays in the meantime is going to impact this equation to some extent. I think the most likely scenario is that Amador is going to be sent back down. Happens to most guys, right? Tovar did happen to be an exception in that particular regard. But I think this is going to be a first stint of getting that experience, getting the taste of the big leagues, learning a lot, getting that look at big league pitching, and then being able to take a lot of those lessons with him back to the minors and work on some things until he's ready to come back up in a more permanent capacity. But what does that look like? And what does it mean for the future of the Rockies? We do need to pump the brakes a little bit because, you know, Amador still has a lot to prove. Even, you know, this season with the way he did finally break out at AA, there's a lot to prove, especially still at the big leagues. And so the Rockies are in an interesting situation here. I know the prevailing thinking had been early on, especially when Ryan McMahon was super hot, that he's the guy that they should trade this year because his value is the highest it's ever been. I've talked before about why I don't think most GMs are likely to fall for that anymore. But I've also said many, many times that the Rockies do need to trade some veterans in order to get younger and to build around guys who are more likely to be a value for them in the future. And so I think this is going to get really interesting for Brendan Rodgers. The simplest logic says that if Amador does prove himself, you can trade Brendan Rodgers because you've got an heir apparent at that exact position, right? You don't have to do too much shuffling around. If you trade Rodgers for pitching and you just slot Amador right there at second base. And I do think there's a decent possibility that that's exactly what happens. I think it's really too bad that it's never seemed to fully work out here for Rodgers as a star player. He's had moments. Certainly he won a gold glove. Defensively, he's been phenomenal. There have been moments of offensive brilliance, especially his second year where he was so good on the road. Of course, the injuries have always been an issue for Rodgers. And that's something that I even wonder about for him. As somebody who, quite frankly, likes Brendan as a person, like likes his family, generally roots for them as people, it might even be the best case scenario for him and his health to get away from the altitude and all of the extra problems that that can cause on recovery and other things. I think some people, again, I think Rockies fans who remember that Rodgers was a third overall pick and hoped that he would break out as a star and have never seen that offensively, you know, might be tempted to say, well, he doesn't have any value, where Ryan McMahon's got all of this value. I think their values are a lot closer to each other than most people realize. I do think the injuries are the big sort of red mark on Rodgers' resume, where that's actually on the opposite side, something that McMahon has been incredible about, which is just consistently being in the lineup. But I do think there's an opportunity for somebody out there to say, at least on a floor. And again, I try to remind folks, whenever you're talking about trades, think of it from the perspective of the other team, of who's acquiring the player. And if you're acquiring Brendan Rodgers, you're getting an extraordinary defender with good pop in the bat who usually, and again, this has proven to be the case this year also, hits better as the season goes along. He tends to be really bad in the first month and then gets better and better as the season goes. He's also somebody who's only making $3 million, so you don't have to worry about the big contract with Ryan McMahon, where you're on the hook for $16 million over the next several years. Brendan's making 3.2, and he's in arbitration next season, so the only way that's going to go way up is if he has a phenomenal finish to the season. Otherwise, a team out there acquiring Rodgers gets an elite defender at a really good price and doesn't feel like they're stuck with him if it doesn't work out, right? So that's something where I think maybe you could work out a trade if you do believe that Amador is ready. That said, I think there are a lot of people who want to jump the gun and suggest that the Rockies need to do this immediately. I think there are lots of ways. We've talked about health can always be a factor. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world either if Amador just has to finish the year out in AAA if Rogers comes back, is healthy, and is good. And then you can have that conversation in the offseason about whether it's Rogers that you move, if it's McMahon that you move. The deadline is an interesting place to have this conversation too. We just don't have quite as much time for Amador to prove himself, right? So you're taking a bigger risk. Whereas maybe you want to have them all on your roster throughout the end of the year and you can decide who you're moving forward with in the future at that point. This one is very, very tough for me because, you know, it is a risk to basically dedicate the next 5 or 6 years of your franchise to somebody who, as we were talking about earlier, just turned 21, hasn't proven a thing in the bigs, and, you know, it may not work out for Amador. And so making bigger roster changes based on that can always be very, very iffy. And the vast majority of the time I would be against it. But the Rockies are at a unique place in their history, in their time of rebuild, where I didn't expect him to be here this early. And I don't think they need to push it forward. And I remain of the opinion that they would be best off still losing enough games this year to get at least a top five draft pick one more time, right? I don't think they need to be in the business of trying to win as many games as they can for the remainder of the 2024 season. They should still be focused on the future. And one of the ways that you can do that is by trading some of these veterans off of your roster and going with the more unproven commodity and giving Amador the rest of this season to work through those growing pains so that by the time we start next year, we're looking at the kind of breakout for him that we're witnessing right now from Tovar. And now you've got these guys who next year will be at ages 22 and 23 doing remarkable stuff up the middle for your Colorado Rockies. And I think that that's the most exciting future to dream on. And so that's probably why it's the thing I think that most people, even before Amador made his appearance, when he was just being ranked high, I think a lot of people were saying, you know, it's time to move on from either McMahon or Rogers anyway. And again, as somebody who likes both of those guys, just on a personal level, they're very easy to talk to. I think it could be a situation where it's the best case scenario for everybody involved. That said, I do think it's pushing it a little bit early in terms of needing Amador to be getting experience right now, right? There's a little bit of a delay with some of the outfielders. Zach Veen is hurt again. Yankiel Fernandez isn't exactly blowing the doors off of the place. We've talked all season about Hunter Goodman and Michael Tolia and some of the shortcomings there. And so, you know, the idea being that all of these guys were going to start arriving at the same time, I actually thought Amador would be after guys like Romo and Veen. It's just that his, I'll say it one last time, mature approach, his solid process has clearly impressed the Rockies to the extent that they've rushed him, if you want to call it that way, up to the bigs. And so, yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a daily evaluation that they've got to make in a very short amount of time. How ready does Amador look? How confident are you that he's the guy of the future? Because if you are, then yeah, it's time to make a few more bigger, more impactful trades at this deadline. Keep trying to stockpile that pitching so that, you know, by the time Amador does establish himself and can grow up a little bit in front of our eyes, you are adding all of these extra reinforcements and they can get better. Because I ultimately do think that's the way to go. I'm not an evaluator. I guess I am an evaluator. I'm not a scout. But I think Amador is going to be the guy. I think the future of the Rockies is Tovar and Amador up the middle for a long time. And I think one of those other guys, probably McMahon, because just positionally it makes more sense, will be that veteran that can help them grow and learn and become the best that they can become. And I think that's a really exciting potential future for the Colorado Rockies. And it's going to be great to see what Amador does once he gets in front of the hometown crowd for the first time. But if those hits start to come, don't be surprised if not only the Rockies make a commitment to Amador by making a move that opens up space for him to play, but also by using that Tovar contract as a blueprint for what they could and probably should do here if they're now coalescing that core that they will be building around for the foreseeable future. You know, start having those conversations with Doyle and Nolan Jones as well. But even with the losing, and again, I would say especially with the losing, because if you're focused on getting that one last big potential ace pitcher in the draft, and Lord knows I am, then the fact that they're actually playing decent balls, scoring decent runs, giving you things to be excited about, like calling up Adiel Amador, but then the bullpen is still blowing it, sometimes catastrophically in the ninth. What was that game the other day? Ultimately, bears out the best of both worlds because these guys are getting this experience. The young core is beginning to establish itself, and you're still going to get one more great piece to add. So that's my evaluation of where the Rockies are now with this particular setup, having to make this decision. They've got, you know, another month and a half or so, and however long Rodgers is out, to get their looks at Amador, and then obviously they'll be very closely paying attention to him if he goes back to AAA or whatever. But the future is now. Again, it's not yet. The future is beginning. These are the seedlings. This is the very beginning. And if you're paying attention now, it's going to be a whole lot of fun in a couple of years to from now to say, man, I remember when the Rockies were on their way to lose 106 and this, that, or the other was going on, and they were in the middle of this terrible road trip, and they lost one game 17-9, but Adiel Amador very quietly made his debut, and the Rockies' new middle infield, almost certainly, of Tovar and Amador, made their debut. And this is going to be fun for a while. Thank you all for listening into this episode of 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out Mile High Sports on all of the social media, on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, all that good stuff, especially the Instagram. A lot of short videos I've been doing this year going up there. So if you haven't been on Instagram, you've been missing some of the most fun stuff. It's been fun for me. I hope it's fun for you. So make sure you're checking out all that stuff. And of course, all the written material over at milehighsports.com. Other than that, I can only ever ask that you continue to be absolutely awesome out there. I will continue to be absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.